Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The Windy City Queer Cast, show number 537. I'm Amy Matheny, and hope you enjoyed that Labor Day weekend, because now you got to put up all those white shoes and all those white pants. I don't know. Winter white is a thing. I know it's a thing, but what kind of thing is it really? I mean, is it off-white, or is it that you can wear white in winter? This is the debate. Or does the white product that you're wearing, or white garment or accessory that you're wearing, have to be like wool that's white as opposed to linen that's white? I don't know. Denim, you know, things like this. It's a puzzle, right? Do you wear linen after Labor Day? Why is it linen after Labor Day that is our saying as opposed to white after Labor Day? I don't know. It's a pickle. So if you have some guidance on that, let me know. We definitely got some rain over this Labor Day weekend. We needed that. Probably not enough, but we needed that. And at the same time, not the best time to get it. Why don't we just get rain when it's during the work week, when we're indoors and doing more? But it cooled things down a little bit, so we can be grateful. But guys, we are deep into September. Here we go. Here we are, launching into the fall. And I'm excited to be launching into a conversation with someone today on our show who's been a friend of the Queer Cast, meaning a listener and a person who comments and follows regularly. Jason Steele and his partner became Queer Cast listeners, I think, from the beginning, and met Mitchell, which you'll hear about in this show when we talk later about how they met Mitchell, and then through Mitchell met me. And it's kind of a lovely story. And at the same time, Jason has a lot to talk about because he has his own blog, his own podcast, and on a topic that I think many of you love and follow, which is the world of comics. And whether that's, you know, the sci-fi comic supernatural genre on television, or whether that's in the film world, where Marvel and DC have come to life on the big screen time and time again, and more characters getting big screen action time, or whether it's in the actual comics or graphic novels, where it all originated. So Jason's going to be talking with me today about the GLBT in the comic world. And so I'm very, very excited. We often talk about the comic world, meaning comedian world, with Scott and Mitchell, but this is the comic world, graphic novel, comic strip world. So it's going to be a really cool show. I'm very excited. Plus lots of GLBT news, and the theater is starting to pop up and pick up. So great opportunities to be in the theater this fall, as our big theater preview will come out in Windy City Times here too in just a few weeks. And I don't know if many of you know, but there's this wonderful play that was done here a few years ago down at Timeline Theater called To Master the Art, about the life and loves, the love of her life, Julia Child, her two loves, her husband and her, and cooking and French, the French world, the French people and French food. And that show is being taken now in a remount with much of the same cast to with Broadway in Chicago and a commercial producer down to the big Broadway Playhouse right on Michigan Avenue. It's a fantastic space. And I'm going to be understudying that show. So hopefully you won't see me on stage because it means one of something's going on with one of the lovely actresses that I understudy. I am not understudying Julia Child. But I am understudying the lovely Juliet Hart and Heidi Kettering. So I'm going to be hanging out downtown more than I normally do. So maybe I'll talk about that a little bit in the podcast coming up because I don't work downtown anymore and I don't spend much time downtown unless I have friends in from out of town or I go down to see a show. So I don't know. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy spending September and early October in downtown. But I encourage you to get your tickets because this show is really funny. It's really moving. You smell the cooking on stage. It's really a fantastic show about a period in time and a larger than life character that I know the GLBT community really always has embraced Julia Child. And it is really a magnificent show. It won lots of Jeff Awards and Jeff Award nominations a couple of years ago. So this is a reimagining with openly gay director Bill Brown, who's the writer and co-writer and director of the show at the helm again. So to master the art, get your tickets now at BroadwayInChicago.com and come see it. I'll probably be in the audience. Hopefully I won't be on stage. Hopefully I'll be in the audience. That would be my appropriate place as understudy. I'm insurance. Mitchell's coming back, so I'm going to have Mitchell on the couch as well. We'll talk more about that, but let's launch into this show. Here we go.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The U.S. Department of Treasury and the IRS announced August 29th that same-sex couples legally married in jurisdictions that recognize their marriages will be treated as married for federal tax purposes. It does not matter if the couple lives in a jurisdiction that recognizes same-sex marriage or one that does not. The ruling implements federal tax aspects of the June 26 Supreme Court decision, invalidating a key provision of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act.
50 years after the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his memorable I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, several individuals, including President Obama, spoke about racial progress from the same spot. Obama said, "Because they marched, America became more free and more fair, not just for African Americans, but for women and Latinos, Asians and Native Americans, for Catholics, Jews and Muslims, for gays, for Americans with disability. America changed for you and for me."
Current San Diego Mayor Bob Filner is stepping down after almost 20 women have claimed he sexually harassed them. So the city charter calls for City Council President Todd Gloria, who's openly gay, to become mayor. Gloria, age 35, would not be San Diego's first gay mayor. Tony Akins headed the city under similar circumstances in 2005.
Walmart, America's largest private employer, will soon extend insurance benefits to its employees' domestic partners, including same-sex couples. The company's senior VP of benefits says of the move is a business decision, not a moral or political decision. States are developing different definitions of marriage, domestic partner, civil union, etc. By developing a single definition for all Walmart associates in the U.S. and Puerto Rico, we are able to ensure consistency for associates across our markets.
The Democratic National Committee's LGBT caucus voted unanimously to elect D.C. gay Democrat activist and black LGBT pride leader Earl Foulkes as the caucus chair. Foulkes served last year as an Obama delegate to the DNC.
Her foundation has supported major transgender causes in recent years, and now Colonel J.N. Pritzker has publicly stated that she identifies as transgender. Pritzker, the billionaire founder of the Pritzker Military Library in Chicago, and a member of one of the nation's most wealthy families, has legally changed her name to Jennifer Natalia Pritzker.
In New Mexico, a woman got her dying wish to marry her longtime partner on August 23rd, not long after a federal judge ordered the Santa Fe County Clerk to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-gender couples. Jen Roper, age 44, who is suffering from a life-threatening form of brain cancer, married Angelique Newman, where she is hospitalized. Earlier that week, the couple had asked the New Mexico court to legally marry immediately.
Judge Alan Mulott of the 2nd Judicial District Court of the State of New Mexico ordered the county clerks of Bernalillo and Santa Fe counties to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Mulott said that denying same-sex couples access to civil marriage violates the New Mexico Constitution.
Also in New Mexico, former state Democratic Party chairman and possible Santa Fe mayoral candidate Javier Gonzalez announced he's gay. Gonzalez came out on the website Familia es Familia, which works to build support among Latino communities for the acceptance of gay and lesbian family members.
The United States Department of Health and Human Services said that all beneficiaries in private Medicare plans have access to equal coverage when it comes to care in a nursing home where their spouse lives. The guidance specifically clarifies that this guarantee of coverage applies equally to couples who are in a legally recognized same-sex marriage, regardless of where they live.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled that state licensing officials may enforce a 2012 California law banning licensed therapists from attempting to change the sexual orientation or gender expression of a patient under 18 years of age.
Republican New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has distanced himself from anti-gay remarks made by Steve Lonergan, the Republican Senate candidate who Christie has endorsed. Lonergan speculated about the sexual orientation of his opponent, New York Mayor Cory Booker, and implied that gay men are not real men. Lonergan, the conservative former mayor of Bogota, New Jersey, is challenging Booker in the state's October 16th special election.
Kentucky's state capital, Frankfort, became the fifth city in the state to adopt an LGBT-inclusive anti-discrimination ordinance. The Frankfort Board of Commissioners voted to enact a fairness law that bans discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations based on someone's actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity.
In world news, Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a decree banning demonstrations and rallies for 2.5 months in Sochi around the 2014 Winter Olympics. The Rossiyskaya Gazeta, the official government newspaper, published the presidential decree listing various measures tightening security in the Olympic host city, including the ban on public assemblies. The Winter Olympics take place February 7th through the 23rd, 2014, in Sochi, while the Paralympics are March 7th through the 16th.
The Auckland Unitarian Church made history last week, hosting the first same-sex marriage in New Zealand. On April 17th, the New Zealand House of Representatives voted to legalize same-sex marriage, 77-44.
Israel is planning to construct the country's first monument to gays whom the Nazis persecuted. The monument will be erected in the central Tel Aviv's Meir Park. A pink triangle, the symbol Nazis used to mark gay people, will be displayed in a concrete triangle at the center of the monument, along with a bench and plaque that will display information about how gay men and lesbians were persecuted during the Holocaust.
And marriages for same-sex couples began taking place in Uruguay. The first couples were married on August 23rd.
In entertainment news, at MTV's Video Music Awards, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis capped their award-winning night with a performance of the gay anthem Same Love, which won Best Video with a Social Message. The duo were joined on stage by Mary Lambert and surprise guest Jennifer Hudson. Openly gay NBA basketball star Jason Collins introduced the song. Also, the duo won for a Best Hip-Hop Video for Can't Hold Us.
British sitcom Vicious, featuring gay actors Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Derek Jacobi, will run for a second season. The ITV sitcom features the award-winning actors as a gay couple who've been together for nearly 50 years. McKellen plays Freddie, a sharp-tongued, delusional actor who lives with his partner Stuart in their Covent Garden flat.
Singer Linda Ronstadt, 67, says she has Parkinson's disease and can no longer sing. Ronstadt, an 11-time Grammy winner, said that she was diagnosed with the neurological ailment about 8 months ago and can't sing a note.
Legendary actress Julie Harris died at the age of 87 in her Massachusetts home. Harris won a record 5 Tony Awards for Best Actress in a Play during her theater career that spanned 6 decades. She was in movies such as East of Eden, as well as TV shows like Knots Landing.
Focus Features is moving up the release of the film Dallas Buyers Club from December 6th to November 1st. The age drama, starring Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto, is based on the real-life story of Juan Woodruff, who began smuggling antiviral medications into the United States from all over the world after being diagnosed with HIV in the mid-'80s.
TV's Wonder Woman Linda Carter will become a part of the CBS show Two and a Half Men. The actress-singer will play a version of herself in the upcoming 11th season.
On the upcoming season of Glee, singer-actress Demi Lovato will be the love interest for Naya Rivera, who plays Santana. Rivera's former love interest, played by Heather Morris, will not be returning as a series regular.
And Jake Gyllenhaal will appear on James Lipton's Inside the Actor's Studio Thursday, September 19th. The actor discusses Brokeback Mountain, Donnie Darko, and the upcoming film Prisoners, as well as his Hollywood family, including sister Maggie, and his relationship with his late friend Heath Ledger.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite gal, Amy.
You do not want to miss what's coming up this Monday night, September the 9th at 7 o'clock to benefit and raise money for the March on Springfield for Marriage Equality. There's going to be this fantastic show, this fantastic concert right at the beautiful City Winery Chicago. It is amazing. 1200 West Randolph. They have valet parking down there. It is a beautiful venue. The food, the wine, the beers. I mean, they have such an amazing, amazing environment and stage and sound. And we are going to fill that stage with our host, Scott Duff. Also, our Windy City Gay Idol 2013, Maria Paul. Our Windy City Gay Idol 2011, TJ Chernick. The singer, Christina Aguilera's mentee from The Voice, Deborah, who is going to rock the house. And singer-songwriter and all-star MVP world quarterback, she just happens to be a Jane of all trades, Sammy Grisafi, are going to be just some of the people performing, plus a whole host of our wonderful gay idol finalists this year, from the cute Jason and Nick, as well as James and Jonathan, Julio, Jennifer. It's going to be a great, great night. So everybody's going to get a chance to sing and help lend their voice to raise money for the March on Springfield for Marriage Equality this Monday, September 9th at 7 o'clock. Do not miss it. For tickets, visit citywinery.com. There are $10 tickets, $15 tickets, and $25 tickets. So you can't miss it. Citywinery.com. Be there or be square.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 2nd, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Porchlight Music Theater presents Double Trouble, a musical tour de farce, now through October 6th at Stage 773. When two singing, dancing, songwriting brothers get their big break in Tinseltown, it's lights, camera, mayhem. For tickets and information to Double Trouble, visit porchlightmusictheater.org. Double Trouble, it's a musical tour de farce.
Things aren't always what they seem in the upcoming world premiere production from Babes with Blades Theater Company. Bo Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirate is a film noir-flavored detective story with enough twists and turns to keep you guessing. The show runs now through September 21st at the Raven Theater's West Stage. Visit babeswithblades.org for tickets. Don't miss Bo Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirates. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Batman!
us gays are big comic book fans or comic movie fans. Why wouldn't we be? But why are we? And what is the appeal? And are we represented at all in the graphic novel comic book world? And is that changing today? Well, Jason Steele is the ultimate fanboy. I mean, he is a fan of the podcast, so that makes him super cool, whom I met through Mitchell Fain, one of our co-hosts, and my Jewish mother-in-law who lives in the house. And Mitchell suggested, you know, you need to meet Jason and talk about his favorite topic, which is comics. He is one of the hosts of the largest GLBT podcast devoted to gay comics. It's also a blog called comicbookqueers.com. But I'm just so thrilled because now he's becoming a friend of mine. A fan becomes a friend. And someone who listens becomes somebody you know. I love it when fiction becomes reality. So I'm so thrilled to have him on the show. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much, Amy. I'm so glad to be talking to you.
Now, you go by Steele, which I kind of like. It reminds me of Remington Steele. It makes me feel oddly heterosexual, but that's okay.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people don't, whenever I go by Steele on the comicbookqueers.com, they're like, oh, that's your made-up name. I'm like, no, that's actually my real last name.
No, I have the cool name that also sounds like a comic book superhero.
That's true.
So first of all, let's just tell all the listeners, because I know, you know, many of you listen each week and, you know, and I often say, you know, come see me and Scott Duff here, come see Mitchell and I here or whatever. But it's a really funny story of how you met Mitchell. It wasn't just, you know, in Andersonville or down in Boys Town. So how did you meet Mitchell and thus how you met me?
Well, okay. So my partner Brad and I listened to the Windy City Queercast, and we're just familiar with, you know, you guys. And about 2 years ago, Mitchell had mentioned that he was going to be, you know, he does the cruises every year.
Yep.
So he said, I'm going to be on this Norwegian boat starting in January. So Brad and I just happened to book a cruise. Yep. Had no idea that it was going to be the same cruise.
You're not a weird stalker, right? You didn't hear it
right.
And then, like, figure it out.
Right. And so we're on the cruise, and we go to the, and I think Mitchell's actually mentioned this on your show before, but mm-hmm. We went to the Friends of Dorothy meeting, which is like the old-timey reference for gay people mm-hmm. to know that that's the LGBT meeting on the cruise. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there, and Mitchell's at the bar talking, probably flirting with the bartender.
And, or the busboy, or the barback.
That's
probably more age-appropriate.
That's true. And so Brad and I are like, hey, you know, that his voice sounds familiar. I think that's Mitchell. So at the same time, Mitchell happened to look over at me, and I also, I'm a freelance writer for the Red Eye here in Chicago, which is a like commuter paper for the Tribune, and my picture's in it. So he looks over, and he's like, wait a minute, I think is that Jason from the Red Eye? So at the same time, we had this weird realization. So he comes over to talk to us, and we sort of made that connection. It was just funny that we happened to be on the boat at the exact same time. So we started hanging out. You know, he was working, but we hung out a little bit on the boat, and then when we got back to Chicago is what, and he got back, we all started hanging out. And then we also ended up in New Orleans again at the same time in March. And he's like, I'm here. And he has two friends there. And Brad and I were there. So we all mm-hmm. ended up had a one drunk filled Sunday afternoon together.
Aww. And thus gay love was made. Well, not really gay love, but you know. The platonic kind.
Right. But then we got to meet you. You know, you had a lovely dinner party, and we all finally got to meet. And it was kind of one of those things where everyone was aware of each other but had never officially met.
I know. He was like, I want to invite Jason and Brad. You know, they're like the Queercast listeners who I met on the boat, who I then hung out with in New Orleans. And I was like, oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. Because obviously you've become a little bit of there's become a storyline about you on the show, and now you're finally being heard on the show, which is so super. Well, talk to me about your first comic. What was your first comic book, and who was your superhero of choice as once you started reading comics?
Well, I was pretty late into comics, like in the past 4 years or so. So mid-30s. And really, it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer was sort of my gateway comic. You know, they always say marijuana is a gateway drug and it's all downhill from there. Well,
yeah.
Buffy did it for me because I watched Buffy when it was on TV, and then I found out when the show was canceled, they continued the storylines in a comic book. So I'm like, okay, well, this is easy because I'm already familiar with all the characters. You know, it wasn't like going in and picking up Spider-Man number 585 mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up Buffy, and like I said, from there I don't want to say a downward spiral. It was an upward spiral, I guess, into now I read probably like 50, 60 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. But the one thing I liked about Buffy was, you know, I was familiar with the characters, and they're really LGBT inclusive. You know, the show was, and the comic book is as well, and they have a gay slayer in the comic book now. And mm-hmm. and so from there, people are like, well, if you like Buffy, you should read The Runaways, because Joss Whedon also wrote The Runaways. And then it was, well, why don't you read Batwoman, because she's an out, you know, lesbian who was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, mm-hmm. you know, and from there, I just started reading a lot more comics.
So what do you think it is about the genre now that you're on this blog and have this podcast and, you know, you're an adult entering this world consciously discovering something 4 years ago that you really enjoy? What is the appeal, and why does it appeal to us as GLBT people?
I think, you know, there's always that metaphor that the X-Men it's always been said that the X-Men are a metaphor for the LGBT community.
Right.
Because they're sort of outsiders, and a lot of people can relate to that. But I also think that the people that are writing the comic books now are our age, and they're much more just inclusive in their lives. And so mm-hmm. they're gay and lesbian, and they're out, or they have a gay and lesbian friend or brother or sister, and it's just more prevalent in society and more acceptable. And so people that are in their 30s and 40s that are writing the comics are inserting this. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a sign of the times. I mean, right before the call, I went to Marvel.com, and if you type in gay characters, mm-hmm. they literally have 111,773 instances in the Marvel Universe of gay characters.
Wow.
I mean, that's amazing, 111,000. Now, granted, a lot of them are like, you know, Wolverine on Earth 1610 or something like that. You know, there's all these infinite number of Earths. But the fact that they've been in the past 5-10 years really making an effort to have more diverse characters, including their sexuality, including a lot of transgendered characters recently.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's really an interesting thing, you know, and I feel like it is this battle, but like the two big guys, you know, the Pepsi and Coke of the comic world are Marvel and DC. And even though, you know, Marvel, you know, one of the things that I knew that I was doing news stories on a couple of years ago was where they had the character Northstar marrying his boyfriend. But it really feels like now DC is starting to really catch up with that. You just mentioned the transgender. They just introduced this year the transgender roommate of Batgirl. And I think her name is like Alicia or
Alicia.
And as you mentioned, you know, they've got Batwoman, which has, I mean, I feel like, was Batwoman like always a lesbian character, or what's been kind of the progression of her character's journey through the comics? Because Batwoman is an old character, right?
Yeah.
So did she have like a late coming out, or what happened there?
Well, what's interesting with Batwoman is that she was originally brought on years and years and years ago, like 30, 40 years ago, because the comic code was saying that Batman and Robin were too gay. You know, they're always seen palling around together. We need to bring on this love interest. So they introduced Batwoman for Batman. But the way that it was written, she just really didn't have any interest. She kind of went away for a while. And then a few years ago, they reintroduced Batwoman, and they said, well, she doesn't have to be Batman's, you know, girlfriend. She can be her own person.
Right.
So she's a Jewish lesbian who was outed and discharged from the armed forces under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. So she took on this Batwoman moniker in Gotham City. She has a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. They're getting engaged. I mean, they've really developed her into everything that Batman isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, Batman is like basically the straight, hetero, white male, and Batwoman is almost the antithesis of that, and it's doing phenomenally well.
Yeah. It's really, so it is successful. It's a successful comic.
It is, and, you know, I think they were trying to push the boundaries a little bit, but because the readers just accept it, it's not like, yeah, I mean, I guess the readers are more mature too. So I don't know if what their reaction they wanted it to be, DC wanted it to be with Batwoman, but people were kind of like, oh yeah, cool. We're on board with this. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually that the readers are a lot more progressive, I guess, than the houses might be, than Marvel and
DC.
Right.
Well, and another big classic comic, definitely not of the superhero genre, but the Archie comics, they've really done a lot. And I kind of feel like the Archie comics, I don't know, what's the word, target possibly even a younger, newer comic book reader, and maybe that's just my perception, but with their Kevin Keller story, they've done so much, and I've been obviously doing small news stories on this as they've let that character progress and evolve and have an evolution too, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting with the Archie comics is they are really, on the surface, they're really geared towards tweens. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they aren't really for adults, but at the same time, adults can enjoy them too. And Riverdale's the most wholesome place on the planet.
Yeah.
So when they decided
it's Mayberry, right? Like, we have a gay character in Mayberry.
Exactly. And the fact that Kevin Keller, so Kevin is the gay, one of the gay characters in the Archie universe. He was so successful that when they introduced him, it sold out. They actually had to, the first time in Archie Comics history, they had to reprint. So they.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. What an amazing statistic.
So they spun him off into his own series. So he's in the Archie universe every once in a while, but he's also in, like, he has his own book, Kevin Keller. And they've done flash forwards where he gets married. They've done alternate universes where, you know, he's just involved in a lot of things, and he's just part of the gang, and everyone there accepts it. And, you know, one of the more recent ones, he was challenged by they call them the 12 million moms in the Archie universe. And they kind of make fun of them. There's only about 15 there.
Mm-hmm.
But even when they deal with things like prejudice and Kevin being, you know, beaten up or made fun of for being gay, it's still presented in an intelligent way, but something that a tween really could get into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, it's a little heavy-handed, but it's not like hitting you over the head with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting because as you say this, and we talk about this, like North Star marrying in 2012, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell with Batwoman, and, you know, now the introduction of a transgender character, and does it feel like comics? It doesn't feel to me like comics are. It's not really. It's more art imitating life than life imitating art, right? I mean, it is a reflection of what's going on in society, then somehow encapsulated with these familiar characters, so we connect to them.
Yeah, it is. I think you noted before that Marvel's a little ahead of the curve than DC is. I mean, DC introduced the Green Lantern. It was a big deal that the Green Lantern was going to be gay. But really, it's the Green Lantern on Earth 2, which is a great book, and it's very successful. But they're being a little more, I guess they're tiptoeing around it. Whereas with Marvel, they're like, yeah, North Star and Kyle are getting married, and deal with it. And they're in the X-Men, and now Kyle's going to, I mean, North Star and his boyfriend, Jean-Luc, I think his name is, might be deported because of, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, you know, because of that and DOMA and everything. And DC kind of tiptoes around it, but they're getting there. And I think it is more art imitating life, that it's being more accepted in, you know, TV shows and movies and the media, that they're finally, their readers are saying, well, why are there 5,000 comic book heroes and two are gay? You know, so now, well, there's still a long way to go. I mean, really, I was writing down a list, and on the top of my head, I can only think of about a dozen or so, but that's still a dozen more than we had 5-10 years ago.
Right. I mean, it feels like the change is coming fast here in this comic book world. And I'm wondering, you know, do we have more GLBT writers and artists? You know, we can definitely look at the graphic novel and see someone like Alison Bechdel, who lesbians may know from the comic strip Dykes to Watch Out For, who then became like a crossover. I mean, mainstream, award-winning, top 10 list author with her graphic novels, A Fun Home about her childhood, and Are You My Mother? You know, that's very different, obviously, than like what DC and Marvel are doing in some ways, but in other ways, you know, it's a queer person telling a queer story through graphic images. And then we see also that with queer people, we're finding new ways of making the form where often I'll get a news story like, I don't know, like it's a Madonna comic, or it's a Cher comic, or it's something that comes out around one of our icons, or how have those been evolving in the past few years? You know what I'm referencing? I don't actually know what to call them, but I mean, I guess the comics that are, they had a Lady Gaga one,
right?
You know?
I'm not exactly sure what they're called either. I've seen them. I mean, I've purchased the Madonna one and the Lady Gaga one, and they're like these star pop icon ones. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a Justin Bieber as well. But you can tell when you're reading them and when you're looking at them, they're very specifically geared towards the, LGBT community. Because,
sure.
I mean, yes, those artists, Bieber and Gaga more than Madonna really cross over into the younger generation. But the fact that they're even giving them a comic and giving them something to do, they're not the most amazing comics ever.
Right.
But it's interesting to have, those divas, I guess, basically represented for us, like mm-hmm. the Cher and the Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had some, like George Takei has popped up in the Archie comics as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they are being a little
referential.
Exactly.
Now, the newest story that I got was that they're this new novel, Erotic Lives of the Superheroes, which has come out by this Italian author. I'm going to totally bastardize his name, I'm sure, but his name is Marco Mancasola. And he depicts Batman and Robin as a bickering gay couple whose sex life has gone flat. It also imagines erotic obsessions of Superman or Mr. Fantastic, Mystique. And somebody from DC Comics, said, well, talking about Batman, said, he's intended to be heterosexual, but the basis of this whole concept is obviously pretty utterly gay. So that's somebody from DC Comics is even saying that. Is there this whole world? I mean, I know there is with television and film, of fan fiction. Like, if you're not going to tell our story, DC or Marvel or somebody else, then are there places online where people are writing that kind of fan fiction for these characters?
Oh, definitely. And it actually seems to be more fan art than fan fiction. I mean, you can.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can Google like Batman and Robin gay and you'll come up with people writing their own fan fiction. But what really seems to be prevalent is if you Google image that, there are so many instances of those characters or Wolverine or anyone that a gay or lesbian person might, find attractive, like find the characters attractive, that they'll draw them themselves in some sort of sometimes X-rated situation. And well, sometimes it's very TG with them just kissing or whatever. But I mean, it seems like sometimes if you Google that stuff, Google image it, you come up with that before you come up with the real images. I mean, that's really prevalent. A lot of the gay fan art, as it were.
Yeah. With comic book queers, what are you all talking about? What are you excited about? And do you all know things that are coming down the path? And have you expanded kind of, what you all talk about, as I said, beyond just the printed comics, which have numbers to them? It sounds like you obviously talk about film and television and other things as well. So what are you hot about? What are you excited about that's coming up in 2013, 2014?
Yeah, I mean, we do mostly stick to the comics. I mean, especially if there's a gay lesbian storyline coming up. But we also, like you said, we go to the comic book movies and we review those. Any graphic novel that's coming out. We're mostly kind of, I don't want to say watchdogs, but, if a book's successful and there isn't a gay character in there, then we kind of are wondering why. Because if you're introducing a new book and you have 15 characters, why can't one of them be gay, or why can't one of them be trans? So we're sort of keeping an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
As for stuff that's coming up, I mean, I read, like I said, like 50 or 60 comics a month, and I'm always picking up something new. So I'm willing to give any new comic, three issues just to see what's going on. And some of the ones that we love right now are like The Wake is amazing. It's sort of this undersea adventure, and the characters are great, and it's very possible that there could be an LGBT character in there. It's really early on in it. There's another one called Collider, another one called Trillium, and they're all sort of sci-fi things. And what's fun about it is because a lot of these aren't DC or Marvel, they're sort of the fringe publishers like Valiant or Vertigo, that they're willing to take more risks for things.
Mm-hmm.
So they also don't feel like they have to say, hey, everyone, look, this character is going to be gay. It's like, hey, you're going to enjoy this character and their storyline, and guess what? They just happen to be gay. We're finding that happen a lot. That seems to be the trend more, where it's not really hitting you over the head with it. It's like, look, they're people, too, who just happen to be gay.
And are there films or things coming up on television? I mean, I do know that the big Joss Whedon has done the big new television series, right? That's coming up.
Agents, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. I mean, that remains to be seen if there's going to be any gay characters in it. I don't think that the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters have sort of just been peripheral up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
What it seems is comic books can get away with a lot more than the TV and the movies are willing to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been talk about, you know, that there's a new Spider-Man in an alternate universe, and his name's Miles Morales, and he's a little half black, half Latino boy. He's like 15, and Peter Parker's dead, so he's the Spider-Man here. And his best friend, we think, is gay. It's been sort of hinted at that. So Andrew Garfield said, why can't Spider-Man be gay? And it was like immediately, well, he's not going to be gay in the movies.
Yeah.
Well, why
yeah.
not? You know, you sort of understand it, but at the same time, there's no reason why it couldn't be.
Well,
so the comic books are pushing the envelope a little bit more.
Yeah, well, and even connecting to our podcast from this past week, you know, I think what he said was that why couldn't he be bisexual? Like, why couldn't he be a guy? You
right.
know, which I think is so interesting, you know? I mean, especially for these characters that are not so-and-so, quote-unquote, human, you know? They don't operate under the same... Now, some of the characters are human, you know? I mean, that's the difference,
sure.
obviously, right? With some of the comic heroes, and some of them are and aren't, you know?
Right.
But so interesting for the ones of them that are not human, it feels like there's such an opportunity to have them have gender or sexual fluidity or, you know, just do things differently. I mean, they are different, you know, they're not
right.
like us. And to allow them to break some of those strictures or paradigms or roles that we have feels like that's part of the fantasy, right?
Yeah, and it'll happen eventually. I mean, it may not be a Batman or a Superman, but in one of those movies, there's going to be a side character or a villain or someone that's going to be bisexual or trans or gay. Not that villains, that they're villainized, right? I just mean, they're also characters that people are going to respond to, and then the movie studios are going to be like, okay, well, maybe we can work with this. I think it's going to take a little more time in movies, but we all know how Hollywood works. Everyone behind the scenes is gay, but they presented as
right.
you know, straight in the movies. So
yeah. Well, and it does feel like, as you said, I mean, comics feel like they have the ability to do, you know, to be more risky. And honestly, I feel like television is pushing the way more than film. And why? Because it's not financially the huge catastrophic risk that
right.
film is. And so what's really interesting is that now we're seeing with television that these gay and lesbian characters, transgender characters, bisexual characters are intimately coming into the home, you know? So
mm-hmm.
it that is, I think, foraging up and creating a foundation to where, you know, the studios will catch on and the major pictures, you know, will
right.
go that way. But it's happening, I think, in the home. It's happening in a very small, kind of stealth way. You know, and I'm totally giving fodder for fire for totally right-wing conservative, you know, fundamentalists right now to say we have an agenda, but I'm saying we are kind of seeping into the home, through the television, you know,
right,
and we're becoming just mainstreamed that way.
And that's great. And that, I mean, if that's the way it needs to go, that's great, because more people are seeing TV shows than they are movies, right? I mean,
that's
more people
right.
are coming across them than they are making an effort to go to the theater.
Yes. Well, and honestly, you know, writing is better on television today. And
right.
And the scripts for a lot of the action movies, that a lot of the comic book movies, you know, there's not a lot of story there. There's a lot of action there. So we're actually getting to tell the intimate stories of these characters, you know, more through television, which is probably why you fell in love with Buffy. You know, and then, you know, I mean, I know they've wanted to make Buffy into a movie. They, you know, they've been trying to say that would happen. It's a great Entertainment Weekly issue, the past issue, if people haven't picked it up or downloaded it on your iPad, that is a big cover with Joss Whedon. And if you are a fan of Buffy or Firefly or, you know, any of his projects, even Much Ado About Nothing. His independent Shakespeare that he put out this year. It's a great article that just talks about him and his career. So how can people hear your podcast and be a part of your blog? And is there a way for them to communicate with you about, like, how I would get started or where do I find these kinds of comics? Or
yeah, if anyone's interested in comics, I mean, you can tweet me at CBQ Steel. You know, like I said, I got into comics late, so I have a lot of advice on what to pick up. I have a friend. Well, you and I and Mitchell have this mutual friend, Max, who's just getting into comics. You know, he's younger. And so he's been every week reaching out to me, what should I read, what should I read? But on Twitter, I'm CVQ Steele. Facebook page is Comic Book Queers. ComicBookQueers.com is our website where you can find our podcast. We blog a lot. We review comics. Kind of do. It's sort of a snarky slant to it, so don't expect very straightforward, you know, reviews of things. We are kind of bitchy, but that's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah, that's totally the fun of it. I mean, it's a fun genre, and what I also love is it's such an interactive genre. You know, where whenever I talk to people, and I did a comic interview a few years ago because Steven Rader, who is a friend of the podcast, used to be on the show a lot. He's a huge comic book fan. And, you know, we went into a comic book store and just watching how comic book readers really do. They want suggestions. They want direction. They want to know what to read. They want to know what you're reading. It feels more interactive than a book club, I swear. You know, it feels very community driven and oriented.
Definitely.
Well, I check out Steele and his other hosts and their blog on comicbookqueers.com. You can blog, you can hear their shows, and follow him on CBQ Steele on Twitter if you're interested and want to get some suggestions. But I think you've given a lot of good ones here. And, you know, the next time there's something, a big news story with the comics, Steele, come back on and talk to us about it. We'd love to hear it from you.
I'd love to do it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you are ready for September because here we are. I am ready for another episode of Orange is the New Black. So I think I'm going to sit back and watch another episode. I'm really getting into it. It's so good. I'm watching that and Homeland first time. That's my fall. Hey, everybody, get your tickets for To Master the Art at Broadway in Chicago.com. Come see us in the Julia Child play, and we'll talk next week with Mitchell. Have a good one. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.